Welcome and thank you for listening to this message from Legacy Church New Braunfels. To connect with us, go to legacynb.com. Now enjoy this message from our special guest.
It's an honor for me to introduce our good friend, Bill Byers. And Bill, we've known each other for several years now, met when I was with my spiritual father, Papa Jack, at an event. And immediately there was a heart connection because of just Bill is a storyteller, but he's a father. And really, when you spend any amount of time with him, you feel the Father's love. It is a tangible experience of it. And he's ministered all over the world, Russia, you know, Korea, Japan, Hawaii, different places in the world. And, you know, obviously during this pandemic time, they've been mainly here in the States. But when we started talking at the beginning of the year, finding the time for him to come in. And obviously then the pandemic hit, it's been kind of crazy. But when we started the Holy Spirit series, and Bill reached out and said, hey, what's it look like towards the end of the year? It's like, this weekend is going to be the perfect time for you to release what God has, because we can talk about the Spirit. I can teach you. We can go application. But there's something that's released impartation from an apostolic father that allows you to step into the experience. We don't want you just to hear about things. We want you to enter into experiencing the fullness of who the Father is. And so what I don't want to take a large time with this thing, but we want to ask you also if you would be willing today to also sow into Bill's ministry as well. We want to receive a love offering for him. And the way you can do that is if you write a check in the memo line, just put Bill. And we'll make sure that gets to him as well. Or if you're going online, same thing in the notes section, just put Bill. We'll make sure that we get that to him. We always, because we honor who comes in here, regardless of what you guys do, we as a house are going to honor him. But I think it's important for you guys to sow into what he's going to release, because there's many more years of ministry left of what he's doing on this thing too. And we just believe that Bill and Faye are entering into the greatest season of their life. And it was cool last night. We went to dinner and with a couple of our spiritual sons, and then also Bob Long and his wife came in, and a good friend who's an apostle and prophet over in Bernie. And I just sat back and watched what was happening of this connection between fathers. And I was like, this is a demonstration of the kingdom here. Because it was so relational, interconnected, there's like nothing can stop this right now. It's not going to be churches. It's not going to be religion. It's not going to be programs. It's going to be this understanding of kingdom family that just when it comes together, it's so organic, it begins to demonstrate the kingdom that transformation takes place. And so why don't y'all just stand up with me and just give just an amazing legacy welcome to our good friend. I love you, Bill, very much. Have fun.
Praise God. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. It's good to be back with you. It's been a while. And it's good to have everybody out in internet land also with us. Where's your camera? There it is. Okay. Greet them. Do you really actually believe that he's a good father?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
He is, isn't he? He is so good, so gracious, so kind. He provides exceeding abundant above all that we can ask, think, or even pray for. So I just want to tell you before we launch into this word today, he's gooder than you think. He's more better.
Yes. Amen.
And, you know, there was a wonderful Scottish theologian by the name of George MacDonald, who was an amazing man and had such keen insight into the kingdom. And he made a statement. I'm probably not going to quote it exact, but this is pretty close to what he said. When we all get home, we're going to be amazed at the lies that we believed about him. He's better than we think he is. He really is. And he loves you. And he loves me. And he loves us. And it's like that little children's song. He's got the whole world in his hands. And he is intent to just shake everything that can be shaken. To get our attention to where we actually turn our eyes away from this world and focus on him. Amen. And so, Father, I thank you for this morning, and I ask for your wonderful anointing to be upon these lips to speak, and let that same anointing be upon our hearts to hear, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In the book of, I'm going to use this as a diving board. In the book of Exodus chapter 25, the Lord spoke to Moses. It says in verse 1, Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart. You shall take my offering. I've got a good friend, Jeff Collins, and Jeff says that God loves a cheerful giver, but he will accept things from a grouch. But this offering was not for grouches. This offering was different. God said, I want you to take me an offering, but it's got to come from people that have a willing heart. There is no way to quantify the blessing that comes when we give from a willing heart. You just can't. You can't measure that. It's this. It opens up exponential increase in a level that we have no understanding until we cross over that threshold one of these days. And I've got more and more friends that have already crossed over before me. Had one this last week. Went home. And oh, what a morning she's having there now. Yes. He says, I want you to give me an offering, but it's got to come from people who have a willing heart. And it says in verse 8, and let them make me a sanctuary. This is the purpose for that offering. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. It's interesting. Dwell among who? Dwell among those who of a willing heart gave. There's something that happens when we open up our heart to give. We're already in the mode of receiving. God created us this way. This is the way he is. God so loved the world, he gave. So his heart is a heart of giving. And he wants us to join in with his heart of giving. And I'm not talking about money. That I may dwell among you. And then he says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among you. And verse 9 says, according to all that I show you, that is, the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. He gives him this instruction. And as God's giving him the really, really minutiae, the fine details of how to make the things of the tabernacle, every once in a while, you read it over there, every once in a while, the Lord throws this thing in there, and a reminder, because God loves to remind us of what he's already told us. In fact, that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit is given to do. I call him, I think I coined this phrase. I never heard it from anybody else, but I'm going to, you know, maybe I'm so old that it doesn't matter anymore. You know, nobody's around to dispute what I'm going to tell you. It's like my grandmother. My grandmother was 90 years old, and she said, you know, I was the first librarian in our city, and there's no one around old enough to tell you anything different. And actually, she was the first librarian. And I don't know, maybe they had two or three books. But the Lord said to Moses, in the midst of all of the instructions, and I'm going to paraphrase this in Texas language. Make darn sure that you do it according to the pattern. It was a very demonstrative statement. It was a command, but it was demonstrative. It was like he reached out and grabbed him. Son, let me tell you, don't forget. Whatever you do it according to the pattern that I showed you. God's instructions are very important. And can you take me down in volume just a tiny bit? And so he had a desire in his heart from the beginning. And his heart from the beginning, from the very beginning was, he made this announcement, I want to live with my family. This coming week, I know all pandemic and all of the stuff, and thank God we live in a state that we can have more than six people at our table. You know, thank God for that, because there's other states, believe you me, that you wonder if you're actually in the United States of America anymore. And it's an important thing that we hear this and we understand this, that in the Father's heart, he longs to be with his family. And my wife is not with me this morning. She's doing grandma duty, because we've got all of our kids and all of our grandkids are coming, and they're going to stay with us this whole week. Hallelujah. Thank God for work at home. Amen. Because all of our kids and grandkids, our whole family is going to be together in one house for a whole week. And at the end of the week, I may leave, but no, I wouldn't dare. Because our children and our six grandchildren are going to show up, and they're already starting to filter into the house. And so that's where Faye's at. She's got four of the grandkids there with her this morning. But the joy that's in my heart when everybody comes together under one roof and in one room, this came from the Father. This is what he feels. When we come together like this, he likes it. He enjoys this. He enjoys coming. He enjoys dwelling in the midst of us. This is what he was telling Moses. Make a sanctuary, because I'm going to come and live with you. I want to be with you. I want to be with you all the time. And so he put that inside of our hearts, and he put it inside of our lives, because he wanted his kingdom reign and his kingdom rule expressed on earth through human beings. The word of God must always have flesh on it. It must always be clothed in flesh. He is not content until he has a human expression of his kingdom on earth. And the word was made and dwelt among us. You see? So it was always in his heart. And he was prophesying to them and to us what his intentions were. He made his intentions known from the beginning. This is not a secret. He said it out loud on purpose. I want to live with you. I want to be with you. One of the Bible has many, many, many names of God. God had to name himself a lot of different names because he's that big. Amen. And one of the names of God is Mediator. You know what that means? That means I want to be right in the center of everything. That's what it means. I want to be in the center of everything. When he says, I am Mediator, it doesn't mean that he's just settling an argument. No, no, no. He's in the middle of it all. Right in the center of everything. He is Mediator. And he is Mediator in your heart, Mediator in your life, Mediator in your family, Mediator in this local expression of the body of Christ. He just is Mediator. He loves being in the middle of it all. He says, make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, and that I want to I want it to be according to the pattern. And so Moses was instructed of this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful dynamic. And so he had all of these things built, and he gifted a man, and the Bible says that Bezalel was filled with the Spirit of God. He was filled with the Spirit of God, and he was gifted as a craftsman to work all manner of work. This guy was a genius. Did you know that work is one of the primary purposes of God? Did you know that you're not going to be a fat baby, a fat naked baby with wings and a harp sitting on a cloud in heaven? Do you realize that? Huh? Yeah. You're not. I mean, if heaven's going to be that, send me somewhere else. I don't want to do that. That doesn't call to me at all, period. You know, I don't even like going to the beach and laying in the sand. I need to be doing something. I need to be active. It's just not good. My wife says of me, Bill, you don't do anything good. When you do nothing, you don't, how does she say it? You do nothing very good at all. You need to be busy. Don't be laying around doing nothing. It doesn't do good. It doesn't look good on you, which is what she tells me. And so this wonderful, wonderful reality of God's kingdom and His grace and His mercy and, dear Lord, I need a face ID. There we go. Need to see how many minutes I've got here. This wonderful working of the Spirit of the Lord, God did all of this by the Holy Spirit. Everything. So much so that when God made a covenant with Himself, the new covenant is not a covenant between God and man. New covenant is between God and God. God made His covenant. It's called an intertheistic covenant, meaning that God made a covenant with Himself. We are the benefactors. He made it for us, but He didn't make it with us. He made it with Himself. And it doesn't rest on your shoulders, and it doesn't rest on my shoulders, and you don't have to be good for it. He's the one that's good for it. And He's good. He's good. He secured it. He purchased it. He secured it. And He operates it. Hallelujah. It's just too exhausting to be a good Christian. Haven't you found that to be true? It's just, you know, you ever tried going home doing what the pastor said? It just wear you out. It's so much better. His idea is so much better. His idea is that He came and He took up residence on the inside of human flesh once again, and He does the will of the Father inside of us. And He teaches us and He leads us and He brings us in as benefactors of the new covenant. He brings us into the place where we actually are participators in this thing by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And this truth is according to the pattern. This is what Jesus did. When he left heaven, and by the way, any theologian, I don't care who they are, where they came from, or how many DD whatevers after their name they've got, any theologian that tells you that they understand and can explain the mystery of the incarnation of Christ is a liar. They cannot. Any doctors in the room? Medical doctors in the room? Hallelujah. They're probably online watching me. If they're honest, and it's going to be a shock to some people, but if a doctor is actually honest, they cannot tell you where babies come from. They can explain it biologically down to a certain point. Now, recently, and I say recently for me is in the last 20 years. Recently, I don't know who volunteered for this experiment. I don't even know how they pulled this off, but I do know that they did it. They actually videoed the moment of actual conception. And they were shocked at what they found. Because the moment that that sperm cell connected with that egg and the moment that it entered in, it shocked them because in the video there was a burst of light. Light. God is light. Life comes from Him. It's not an accident. It is not an accident. There's some people that have tried to get pregnant for a long, long time and can't. If that's you, my wife and I, we tried for 6 years and it was like we surrendered to the Lord and we said to Him, please, life comes from You. Life comes from You. And we've got quite a few children, actually. We've got three on earth and two in heaven. And the first two He took. And I never got the privilege of holding them. But I'm gonna meet them one of these days. It's getting closer and closer and closer. And it's great. And so I'm looking forward to that. The point is this: life comes from God. He's the one. And Jesus that created, because all things were created in Him and through Him, everything that was created came through Jesus, through the Word of God, through the expressed divine thought of the Father, came through the Son. And He reduced how it happened. I cannot even begin to conceive of how this happened. I just know this happened. He reduced Himself to one single human cell. Almighty God, the creator of all things, ruler of heaven and earth, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, reduced Himself to one human seed, one human cell. Almighty God, only God could come up with something like this. And He reduced Himself. And the angels that had seen Him create everything that there was to create, they must have thought, what in the world is this? What are you doing now? And the angel came down and spoke to Mary. And he said, you're the one. You're the one. You're the one. You're going, the Holy Spirit's going to come. And he said, you're going to conceive. And she said, how's this going to happen? I don't have a man. And the Holy Spirit, and the angel said, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And He is going to, old King James says, overshadow you. The winner. It's okay. Don't worry about it. I knock things over all the time anymore. I'm not going to tell you what it's a sign of, by the way. Angel says the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and He's going to overshadow you. And we think of shadows as, you know, dark places that light doesn't. But that's not what that word means. What that word means is He's going to come and He's going to envelop you in light.
Yes.
He says there's a cloud of light. In the old covenant, the Old Testament, we see that's the Shekinah glory cloud of God. That's the Holy Spirit. He's going to come, He's going to overshadow you, and in that environment, you're going to conceive light. It's going to come inside of you. And Christ absolutely, totally surrendered His everything. He laid all of His glory aside. He laid all of His power aside. He laid all of His authority aside. He laid everything aside that He is and forever had been. He laid it aside. What shelf he put it on, I can't tell you. But he took it and he put it and put it over here on the side and he left it. And he became absolutely 100% totally, completely dependent upon Holy Spirit. To take him and reduce him and place him into the womb of a woman that was created by him. And here Jesus is, conceived of the Spirit of God within the womb of a virgin. And here he was, growing, developing in that gestation period. Here he was, he's growing inside of her, moving and developing. Almighty God. Totally, completely dependent, helpless, dependent upon Holy Spirit to form him and shape him in that womb. And then the day came that he was birthed, came into this world, and he was given to two human beings. He was placed in their charge for them to take care of God. Wow, is right. This is faith at its highest level. This is the expression of faith in its highest level. He entrusted himself to human beings to take care of him. And here they wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. We sing it every year. But we don't think about it much. He was utterly, completely helpless as an infant. Had to be fed, had to be changed, had to be bathed, had to be cleansed, had to be touched with every infirmity that we are yet without sin. He experienced it all. And he did it under the oversight of Holy Spirit. Anybody that thinks Holy Spirit's weird isn't. They need help. Grows up as a child under the covering and the guidance of Holy Spirit's oversight and Mary and Joseph's parenting skills. He grows up. And then comes the day, just we could dwell there for a long, long time, but then there comes this amazing, amazing day. Listen to this. Mark chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan." You know when he came, John saw him coming. And Jesus presented himself to be baptized, and John says, "Oh, no, we can't do this. You need to baptize." No, he said. This has to be according to the pattern. Suffer it to be so for righteousness' sake, he said. That's another way of saying it has to be according to the pattern. I need to be baptized. He did everything perfect according to the pattern. Totally, completely submitted to Holy Spirit. He did this because he set the pattern. He who is the way set the way in front of us because this is how we come. He came the way that we must come. And so he's there. He's baptized of John. And it says in verse 10, And immediately coming up from water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Listen, and there came a voice from heaven, "You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." John, listen to John's testimony, John chapter 1, verse 32 through 34. John bore witness saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove." So not only did Jesus see this, John saw this. Mouth of two or three witnesses, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him."
He came upon him and he stayed. This is the pattern. This is the pattern. According to the pattern, Holy Spirit must come and he stays. He's not going anywhere. Anybody that thinks that he, that when, anybody that anybody thinks, and we've all been taught this, one way, shape, form, or another, it's been impressed upon it, but it's a lie. So many people have taught, well, look, when you sin, God lifts off of you. No, he doesn't. He came to stay. Whenever you mess up, whenever you sin, whenever you do something, can you stay there? Well, evidently not, because you're here this morning. You know what I'm saying? It's pleasurable for a season, for a time, but you can't stay there. Why? Because he's come. That's why. There was a woman long ago, her name was Catherine. And the Lord spoke to her, and he said to her one day, this a few hundred years ago, said to her one day, he says, get ready, in 3 days I'm going to come and I'm going to visit you. So she cleaned her house, she washed her clothes, made some meals. She took him literally at his word. The first day came, and he didn't show up. And she prayed and she prayed, and all she was bombarded with every kind of doubt, every unbelief, every feeling of stupidity, every feeling of shame. All this stuff came on her, all this kind of condemnations and all kinds of assaults and attacks and every kind of thing mentally, emotionally. Cries herself to sleep. He doesn't show up. Second day, it's worse. Third day, he doesn't show up on the third day, and he was going to be with her. Not only was he going to come in 3 days, he was going to be with her for 3 days, is what he said. And at the end of the third day, he comes into her house physically, shows up. She falls at his feet, grabs his ankles. Jesus, Jesus, where have you been? He says, I've been here the whole time. No, you couldn't have been. It was terrible. He said, did you enjoy that? No, I hated it. He says, that's because I was here. If you can enjoy your sin, you probably, and stay in it and just keep on going and find absolute total fulfillment in it, you need to be born again. If I have a failure in my life, I'm miserable. Why? Because that's not my nature. That's against my very nature. That's against who has taken up residence on the inside of me. He's going to make sure that I don't like it. If you can do it and feel justified in it, something's wrong. Something's wrong. He remained on him. And John says, I did not know, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. And so Holy Spirit, the heavens were opened, Holy Spirit descended, came upon him and remained upon him. And we're told, book of Luke, I think in the fourth chapter, look at this, listen to this. Then Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled. Being filled is not a one-time experience. Being filled didn't just occur in Acts chapter 2. Being filled is this continual flow of the person of the Holy Spirit in my heart, in my life, in my thinking. Being filled. That this is why Jesus said, if you're going to abide with me, you're going to have to abide in the vine. You've got to stay connected. And that connection is not on my own, a human ability to make it stay connected. Amen. This is the connection of a Spirit of God. And so Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus, remains upon him, and being filled with the Holy Spirit, he returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit. Holy Jesus, led by Holy Spirit into the wilderness, was led into the wilderness to be tempted like as we are. So he was filled. And this word filled means that not only did the Holy Spirit come upon him, but the Holy Spirit filled him from within. Not only was there a resting upon him, but there was a residence within. Totally different experience. And so here he is. Went into the wilderness. And then it says in Luke chapter 4, it says, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And now his public ministry begins. And so he's ministering in Galilee and he's working his way coming to his hometown of Nazareth. And it says here, so he came to Nazareth, and this is Luke, just for the record, Luke 4, verse 16. So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on Sabbath day, stood up to read, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place. He looked for it intentionally. And it wasn't by chapters and verses as we understood it. They were scrolls. And so he goes through this scroll and he finds, there, this is it. And he reads it. And here's what he read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery sight to the blind, set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. Nobody ever read it like that guy read it. This guy's different. Who is this guy? We think we know this is Joseph, Mary's and Joseph's son. But no. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I'm under that which is upon me. He made this announcement. I am under the authority of Holy Spirit. I am under the anointing of Holy Spirit. I am under the authority of Holy Spirit. I am completely 100% submitted and dependent upon Holy Spirit completely.
Whoa.
That's what's in this statement. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is not a momentary experience. No, he was announcing his identity that was from heaven. They thought he was Joseph's son. He declared, no, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. My identity comes from up there, not down here. I'm not Joseph's son. He never was. They just thought he was. When you look in the mirror, what do you think you see? Where are you drawing your identity from? Because this is according to the pattern. The pattern of what? The pattern of heaven. The pattern of the kingdom. This is according to the pattern. And everybody that comes into the kingdom goes by this pattern. We're conceived of the Holy Spirit, beloved. We're not just washed in the blood. We're conceived out of the blood of the Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Our spiritual DNA structure comes from heaven, not from earth. My identity comes from there. When he comes inside of my heart, when he comes inside of my life, he comes and he places, he takes up residence, and he has this cry, Abba, Father. Abba. It's the cry, it's the word of a little tiny child that looks up, sees his daddy and says, Abba, Abba, Abba. I belong to you. I came from you. Pick me up. Hold me. I want to be like you. That's what that word Abba means. You're my daddy. Everything that you are, I am. Everything that you have belongs to me. All that you are, all that you have, all that you will ever be, that's mine too. That's what Abba means. Little bit by little bit by little bit by little bit by little bit, Holy Spirit is waking us up to the reality of who we are. Our identity is in Christ. Amen. According to the pattern. Oh my God. Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He looked in the scriptures to find his identity. Where are you looking to find yours? You actually think that your identity is formed and shaped and defined by what you've done in your life? My father's 93 years old, and quite a few years ago he had real serious blood pressure. His blood pressure shot up one morning on a Saturday morning. I just thankfully happened to be visiting from another state, and I was there with my dad, and he looked real bad. He just looked bad, and he needed to go to a meeting, and. On this way, he asked me to take him to the meeting, and on the way to the meeting, I said, listen, let's just stop by the fire department and get your blood pressure checked real quick before we go in. Yeah, he says, okay, I don't feel so good. It was the understatement of the year. His blood pressure was 200 over 130. Stroke level, maybe beyond stroke level. My dad's hometown, everybody there in the city, my dad was born in that town, so they know him very well. Our family's one of the founding families in that town. And the fireman, the EMT, the emergency guy, when he saw that blood pressure, I watched his face, the blood drained from his face, and he looked at my dad and he looked at me and he said to me, either you get him to the hospital immediately or I'm closing the doors and taking him through in this ambulance right now. I said, I'll take him immediately. Got him to the hospital, got him to the emergency room. I was there in the emergency room with my dad. My dad was on the board of directors of that hospital. And they were working feverishly on him. And my two older brothers came came into the emergency room, and they were really working on him, trying to get it. Finally, they started getting his blood pressure down, and so the doctor went out to review some of the tests, and he was going to come back in a few minutes. And so I'm my mother's son, who is stronger than 40 acres of garlic, and so I said, my two older brothers are sitting there quietly, didn't know what to say. My dad's sitting there quietly, didn't know what to say. And so I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. My mom was dying with Alzheimer's and cancer. My dad was trying to take care of her, doing the best that he could, and he grew to 20 feet tall in my eyes. What a man. I said, you can no longer take care of mom. She's dying, and I'm not willing to lose you too. So we're going to get a nurse. And he starts crying. My dad starts crying. And he says, but that's going to cost money. I said, yes, of course it's going to cost money. He says, but that's your inheritance. And I said, no, it's not. My inheritance is not what you can give me out of your pocket. My inheritance is your name. You're my inheritance. And he burst into tears, and my two older brothers burst into tears. And from that day forward, the dynamic of the father and three sons changed totally and completely in a matter of a span of about 15 seconds. Our family changed. And four men that could never look into each other's eyes and say, I love you, suddenly couldn't say I love you to each other enough. And it's happened ever since then. My dad's 93 years old now. Our inheritance is, that's not what we can put in our pocket. Dear God in heaven, have we ever missed it? It's not what God can give you that's your inheritance, honey. It's who He is. It's His name. It's His character. It's His nature. It's His desires. God said to Moses, I want you to tell everybody to come and bring an offering. I want you to give it. I want you to give it out of the willingness of your heart. Why? Because God wanted to be with us and He wanted us to be with Him. He wanted us to desire what He desires. God wants to be in your life, and He wants you to have the same desire for you to be inside of His life. God wants to spend time looking with you, watching you while you sleep, and sitting in a chair waiting for you to wake up, and can't wait for you to wake up so that He can talk to you. And He wants me to have His desire, the same feeling, the same desire, the same intention. He wants me to love as He loves me. In fact, the Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. He initiated this thing. He is Alpha, Omega. He's beginning and end. He's first and last, and He's everything in between. And He wants us to live with this awareness in our life. This is called kingdom living. This is how sons think. This is how sons think. After that happened with my dad, you know what happened? He got much better. He got much stronger. He looked at, and my brothers have told me, he says, you know, Dad looks at me different now. It's something different in his eye, the way he looks at me. Yeah, you know what? He found out he's got sons.
Yeah, that's good.
They're not just interested in what he had and what he built up through the years. They actually love him.
That's so good.
This is what's in the Father's heart. He's a, we sang it, you're a good, good Father. That's who you are. And my identity is, I'm loved by you. And because I'm loved by you, I love you. You love me, and I love you. And that's the way love works, isn't it? And the further it goes on, you know, if you're not careful, you're going to have life. You're actually going to have life. Life is going to be propagated when love happens like that.
Amen.
Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. What a statement. Dear God, we could unpack that one portion of a sentence. It would take years to unpack this. And I've only got 17 minutes left. Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. He, Holy Spirit, has anointed me. I'm operating, I'm functioning, not in my own mind, not in my own will, not in my own strength. I'm operating and I'm functioning out of the anointing of the Spirit of God, and I'm releasing what He feels is important to release. I'm saying what He says. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only judge, I only speak, I only clarify, I only delineate, I only prophesy, I only preach, I only teach what He's teaching, what He's preaching, what He's delineating, what He's saying, I say, what He does, I do. How did He do that? How did Jesus do that? He did it by the anointing and the power of Holy Spirit, by the person of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the one that gives us the ability to see, gives us vision so that we can see. And I'm not talking about vision like a dream. I'm talking about vision to live life and to understand and to say, okay, that's where I'm going, right there. And it plays out in everyday life. Oh my God, when we get a hold of this, or maybe I should say it this way. When this gets a hold of us,
yes.
And and we start moving into a dimension called heavenly light, and we start seeing with vision, we become the devil's worst nightmare. Years ago, I loved, there was this cartoonist, his name was Gary Larson, and he wrote this cartoons called The Far Side, and that was my favorite of all favorite, just because I've got a really crazy sense of humor. But I really enjoyed that. And there's this one cartoon where this guy's pushing a wheelbarrow and he's already in hell. And there's two demons sitting up on these hot rocks and they're looking at him and he's pushing this wheelbarrow and he's just these whistling notes, this joy and harmonies coming out of his mouth, and the devils say to each other, "We're just not getting through to this guy." It doesn't matter what our circumstances are. David said, "If I make my bed in hell, you're there." Well, wait a minute, what is that theologically? I don't know what that is theologically. I'm just telling you this. I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are in our country. It doesn't matter who sits in the White House. It doesn't matter to me, any of these things. It doesn't matter, because my Father is the Lord of all. He is the King of the universe, and my victory does not depend upon the White House. My victory is dependent only on one throne. I appeal to heaven. I voted conservative. It's not that I don't vote. It's not that I don't lobby. It's not that I'm against anything in the United States of America. I appreciate this country so much. I value this country. I thank God for what He's given to us. It's like no other country on the face of the earth. I've traveled all around the world. Most of our ministry has been in third world countries. I get it. My point is this: lift your eyes up higher. When things don't go like what you think they ought to go, lift your eyes up higher. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. My comfort is not my goal. I enjoy it, but it's not my goal. It's the anointing of the Spirit of God. It's the releasing of the Word of the Lord. It's becoming a thermostat in a culture that's toxic. I've been in the most horrible environments. Years and years and years ago, the Lord sent me into Far East Russia. It's the part of Russia that not even Russians want to go to. It's where the gulags are, the prisons. It was a crazy world. Every single morning, the first few years that I would go in there, and I would stay there 8 weeks at a time. And every single morning in the first few years that I was there, there was a crew of the city that sometime during the day would go along the city and pick up the dead human bodies laying in the streets. Not a good environment. People with so little hope that they're drinking themselves to death, thinking that that was the greatest release that they could get for their life. That's the level of vision that they had. I'm going to drink myself to death, because there isn't any hope. People would line up 300 yards long lines in minus 20 degree weather, waiting outside to about a building that was the size of a 10 by 12 Sears and Roebuck's metal building that was all covered with bars on the outside and all around and underneath it too. And that was the grocery store. And they would line up for 300 yards and there wasn't any food inside. And I've got a few minutes. I set my time lower than their time just to get my attention. My wife would be proud of me. And they took such good care of me. We would have these big, huge 3-hour lunches, and there would be 12 of us sitting at the table, and we had one plate of food for 12 people. And we would sit there for 2 and 3 hours having lunch together. And what we did was we moved the food around on the plate because nobody wanted to take a piece because they didn't want to take somebody else's. And they wouldn't take a bite of food until I took a bite of food. And they gave me their best. And those lunches were glory. They were heaven on earth. Because he was there. We joined hands together and I taught them to sing in English. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And we sang it until we weren't hungry anymore. And they didn't have any personal liberties. Zero. And they didn't have much food. And their apartments where they lived were atrocious. You wouldn't live in them. Nor would I choose to. But they never put me in a hotel. They kept me in their homes because they loved me. Because the hotels were worse. And they knew it. And I remember there was this one group that came from Australia, and they would come there and they would teach them wonderful administrative skills, but they came from, they had a lot of money. I had no money. And they had a lot of money, and they would come in, they would get a room at the Hilton Hotel. There was a Hilton Hotel in Khabarovsk, and they would come and they would get their Hilton Hotel. And God bless them, because they were there for 2 and 3 months at a time, and they needed some place of respite. And they would stay in the hotel and they would eat in the hotel. And every trip, I would teach about 8 hours a day, and then we'd have Holy Ghost meetings at night. And I was there. My thing keeps going. Stop. I heard you. I was there while the Australians were there one time, and then the Australians left, and then every time in the school, I would always give them an entire day to ask any question they wanted to. They could ask questions about my marriage, about my children, how to raise kids, how many times I brush my teeth. I didn't care. They could ask me any question at all, and they would come up with all these crazy questions, and then they would actually get to the good questions, and we would have these wonderful long conversations, and it was so wonderful and it was so good. And so there, after the Australians left this one trip, I looked at them one day and I, on this day of questions, and I came to the end of the questions and I says, okay, I have a question for you now. Oh, you have a question for us? What do you not know that we need to tell you? This is a new thing. And I said, I've got a question. I want to know. And I put on the best poker face that I could come up with. I want to know. Squint my eyes at it. I want to know why you treat the Australians different than you treat me. They come and they stay at the Hilton Hotel and they eat at the Hilton restaurant, and I come and I stay in your homes and I eat your meals, and I want to know why you treat me differently than you treat them. And the pastor's wife started crying. She said, don't you know? She was offended. I baited and hooked it, and she took it hook, line, and sinker. Don't you know? Don't you get it? Don't you understand? I said, understand what? I played it out as long as I could. We work with them, but your family. Your family, your father. We want you in our home. And they would fight over where I stayed. God wants to live with you. Take an offering for him. Give it willingly from your heart to him. And let him make a sanctuary here.
because he wants to come and live with you. Right in the middle of all your mess, that's where he wants to be. That's where he wants to be. Hear this real carefully. God is not afraid of sin. He is not. He hates it, but he is not afraid of it. In fact, God runs to sin like a fireman runs to a burning building to put it out. I'll leave you with this story. I'll do it as quick as I can. I was ministering in Louisiana a few weeks ago. And they asked me to stay over. Faye was with me and my granddaughter was with me and our oldest granddaughter, Micaiah. And we were ministering in the thriving metropolis of Leesville, Louisiana. And that's where the two hurricanes went through that town, just in the last few months. And right before the first hurricane hit, I was there and I was ministering and they asked me to stay over and do another day. And I stayed over and we did another day. And we left really, really late Monday night and we were driving back to Palestine, Texas, about a three and a half hour drive. And I got to the big, big city of Jasper, Texas. One traffic light. Pulled up to the traffic light about 10 o'clock at night, looked to my left, and what did I see? But a Whataburger. And I thought, oh God, I need a triple cheeseburger Whataburger. Because I want to see Jesus faster. That's my theory. And I think it's going, one of these days it's going to work out. And so I said to Faye, I said, I need a cheeseburger. It's 10 o'clock at night. I need a cheeseburger. She says, okay. I'm driving, so what can she say? So I go through the drive-thru, get me a triple meat, triple cheese for the politically correct, with jalapenos. And I cut the corner on a diet, Dr. Pepper. Pay for it, get my burger, driving down the road, happy as I can be. 2 days later, I'm in a store and I pull my wallet out to find my debit card and it's gone. I can't find it. We look everywhere, can't find it anywhere. And then I remember the triple cheeseburger in Jasper, Texas. I left my debit card at Whataburger. I called them. I said, I was there a few nights ago, very late, and I bought my meal with a debit card. Are you Mr. Byers? Yes, I am. We have your debit card. And I said to them without thinking, just keep it. I'll come pick it up. 2 hour drive away. Hung the phone up and I'm thinking, just call them back and tell them to shred it and you order it from the bank, you'll have another card in 24 hours, right? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and says, no, I want you to go back and pick it up. Uh-huh. Okay, well, life gets in the way. A week later, Faye and I take off in the afternoon because I was wanting another cheeseburger. I know there's Whataburgers everywhere, but I needed to go to Jasper. So I was on a mission. We go there, I walk in, about 9 o'clock at night. And this wonderful black lady by the name of Janice is the manager of that crew. I walk up, I introduce myself. I said, I left a debit card. Can you go into the office and pick it up? She goes, yes, sir, of course. She goes into the office and as she opens the door, I see the office is maybe 6 feet by 6 feet. It's just big enough for a desk. Little tiny office. She goes in. She's in there for 10 minutes. And I'm thinking, this is not good. And she comes back out after 15 minutes, and she says, Mr. Byers, I cannot find your card. And I said, you know, I'm sorry. I drove 2 hours. Would you mind? I know this is a pain. Would you mind just looking again? She says, no problem. She says, I'll look again. She goes back in. She's in there another 10 minutes. She comes back in. She says, sir, I'm sorry. I can't find your card anywhere. And I said, Janice, please forgive me, but could you call the other shift managers? Maybe they put it somewhere where you don't know.
She says, "Well, we always put them in this one particular lockbox, but I'll do it. I'll call them." So she called all of the shift managers and the franchise owner. And they all had seen my card. They all said, "Yes, the card is there." And she looked and looked and looked. She couldn't find my debit card. She walked back out and looking kind of dejected. And she said, "Mr. Bars, I am so sorry." By now, it's low time at night. All of the crew is watching. Everybody, all the shift crew, they're watching this thing. They're hearing everything that's going on. And they're all right there and watching everything. And watching how I'm going to react and watching how Janice reacts. And they're reading the whole situation. And she said, "I'm so sorry, I can't find your card." And I said to her, "Janice, do you believe in Jesus?" Well, this was when the racial tensions were really high. This is just I don't know, maybe 2 months ago now. And she eyes got big and she kind of looked down. She says, "Yes, I do." And I said, "Oh, good, come over here." So we went over, I sat her down in a booth, and I grabbed her hands and I started praying. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And she finished my prayer and looked up, and she looked at me in tears rolling down her face. And I said, "Janice, please do me a favor one more time. Go inside that office, shut that door, and do this. Just say, 'Holy Spirit, would you please show me where this man's debit card is? In Jesus' name I pray, amen.'" So she said, "Yes, I will." She's an amazing lady. She goes in the door. She does what I told her to do. She comes out in 10 seconds holding my debit card, saying, "You'll never believe where I found this." And I said, "Try me." She said, "I did what you said. I prayed just like you prayed, told me to pray." And I said, "Holy Spirit, show me where this man's debit card is." And she said, "I had my eyes closed and I had my head bowed," and I didn't tell her to do that, but she did it. And she said, "And I opened my eyes and I was looking at the garbage can," and she said, "The light hit the edge." It wasn't the face, it was the edge of the card. And I saw it sitting in the garbage can. And I reached down and moved some coffee stained things and picked it up, and it was in the garbage can. And she handed it to me, and I grabbed her hand. And now all the crew members are all around us. Jasper, Texas, Whataburger. And I said, "Janice, God did not do this for me. God did this for you. He is calling you. And he's calling everybody in this whole Whataburger. And he's calling to all of you. And he wants to be in the middle of your heart. And he wants to be in the middle of your life. And he wants to be in your marriage. And he wants to be with your children. And he wants to be in the work. And he wants to infiltrate and invade this Whataburger in Jasper, Texas, and fill it with the glory of God." And all of a sudden, everybody's crying. And I blessed them, took my credit card, didn't even get a cheeseburger, and left. Got down the road to Lufkin, Texas, about an hour down the road, and got some gas and got back in the van and got my phone and started making a telephone call and faces. And by now, this whole ordeal was an hour. And by now, faces, "Well, who are you calling? It's late at night." And I said, "I'm calling Janice," because she'd given me her number. "I'm calling Janice." "Why are you calling her? We just left there." And I said, "Yeah, I know." I said, "But I just want to tell her once again that I love her." And I called her. And she had just gotten off work, just off her shift, and they got her and they called her back. And I said, "Janice, this is Bill." She says, "Yes, sir." She'll never forget this crazy white guy. I said, "Janice, I just want to tell you that I love you with all my heart, and I'm so glad that God did this tonight. This is wonderful. He's going to make himself known in your life like never before." Yes. Prayed with her again, hung up, and I've not yet got back to Jasper, but I'm on my way one of these days. God wants to be right in the middle of where you guys are. Holy Spirit wants to operate and function even at Whataburger. And with triple cheeseburgers, with jalapenos, and a Diet Dr. Pepper, large Diet Dr. Pepper, by the way. And he wants to be with you wherever you go and whatever you do. Won't you stand with me? I want to pray for you. I've gone over a little bit. Couple of minutes. Father, I thank you. I ask that you will make yourself known in unusual ways to everybody in this room with great power, with great intimacy, and with your wonderful, wonderful anointing. I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that you will bring us into the revelation that you are upon every one of our lives. And we welcome you, and we give you freedom and license to change anything you want to change, speak anything you want to speak, do anything you want to do, and move through us any way you want to, and look through our eyes with your lenses and activate the mind of Christ and change New Braunfels, Texas, as we leave this service and go out into the general public. We want to take you with us, and we want to recognize you every single step of the way. And I'm asking this, Father, in the most wonderful name of all, the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. God bless you guys. It's a joy to be with you again. Thank you for letting me come.
Thank you so much for joining us as we seek first after God's kingdom and release it to transform lives and cities. If you would like more information about how to grow in the kingdom or connect with Legacy, go to our website, www.legacynb.com.